CBS News reports that Mike Wallace has died. The veteran newsman was there at the beginning for 60 Minutes as one of the original hosts of the news magazine. Fellow CBS newsman Morley Safer says it's hard to believe, but when Wallace was born in 1918, there wasn't even a radio in most American homes. Wallace semi-retired in 2006. He told reporters at that time he wanted his epitaph to read, "Tough but Fair." Mike Wallace was 93. Police in Tulsa, Oklahoma, arrested two men early this morning who faced charges of murder and attempted murder. Five people were shot in separate incidents Friday morning. Three of them died. Police spokesman Jason Willingham says he doesn't know yet why it happened.
A little preliminary for us to be able to say for sure what the motive was. Obviously, there were still a lot of questions and there's still a lot of investigation and a lot of follow-up still yet to do.
The suspects are both white. All five of the victims are black. Reverend Warren Blakey is president of the Tulsa NAACP. He says the community is relieved.
Folks were concerned about coming outdoors and being in open-air meetings of any kind because they were somewhat fearful in their own community. So that's gone this morning, and we feel good about that.
Police say they found the men based on a tip. The Syrian government says it will not withdraw its forces from rested areas without written guarantees from the rebels. Grant Clark has more.
In a statement, the Syrian Foreign Ministry says the claim that Syria will pull back its forces from towns by Tuesday is inaccurate. That's when an agreed ceasefire is expected to take effect. It says International Envoy Kofi Annan had not given written guarantees that what it called armed terrorist groups had agreed to end all forms of violence. Annan said on Thursday that opposition groups had assured him they would lay down their arms if the Syrian government honored the ceasefire agreement. Syrian Foreign Ministry spokesman Jihad al-Makdisi said a military withdrawal plan is in place, but the government first needed to see guarantees. Grant Clark, NPR News, Beirut.
So far, no survivors have been found after an avalanche smashed into a Pakistani military base yesterday high in the Himalayan mountains. NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
Pakistan's army has sent troops, bulldozers, dogs and helicopters to take part in the search. But they're working in a very remote area, high in the mountains, where temperatures sometimes drop to minus 70 degrees Celsius. The avalanche happened in Kashmir, the disputed Himalayan region at the core of decades of hostility between Pakistan and India. It engulfed a Pakistani military camp by the Siachen Glacier, an area where thousands of Indian and Pakistani troops have been stationed for years. The glacier, at some 22,000 feet, has been labelled the world's highest battlefield, though with a truce in place, more soldiers are killed these days by cold than combat. Philip Reeves, NPR News.
This is NPR News from Washington. The leaders of India and Pakistan met today for the first time in nearly 3 years. They met privately with no aides present in New Delhi. Later, they told reporters they agreed they want to normalize relations between their countries. The Red Cross in Nigeria says at least 6 people have been killed in twin car bomb explosions near churches in northern Nigeria. NPR's Ophelia Quist-Arkton reports no one has admitted responsibility.
The latest explosions come amid warnings from U.S. and other diplomats of possible terrorist attacks over the Easter weekend in Nigeria. Boko Haram Islamists recently circulated flyers in the city of Kaduna warning residents to expect an incident, and the police had predicted an Easter offensive by the group. The car bomb blasts left charred motorbikes and debris strewn across a busy commercial district in the strategic northern city. Kaduna sits at the crossroads between mainly Muslim northern Nigeria and the largely Christian south and has witnessed sectarian violence over recent years. In his Easter message, Pope Benedict condemns what he calls the bloody terrorist attacks in Nigeria. Ophelia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Bamako.
A cruise ship departed Southampton, England today to retrace the voyage of the Titanic nearly 100 years ago. The Titanic Memorial Cruise is carrying the same number of passengers that the Titanic carried on its doomed maiden voyage, and it will visit the site where it sank. Passengers will be served similar food and hear a live band play songs from the era. Organizers say they want to recreate the onboard experience, minus the disaster. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News in Washington.